Hello, everyone. What is up? It's Wednesday. Time for office hours. We'll let everybody come in for a second and get started. And then we'll get started. Get my board over here. Already got some hands raised. I like it. I like it. So here's how we roll, y'all. There's my friend Azizi. I think you're on every call, girl. I'm just super proud of you for showing up. So if you want to get coached, you raise your hand at the bottom of your screen. Make sure that you mean to have your hand raised, because I don't want to call you up on screen and you be, you know, like in the bathroom or something. That would be embarrassing for both of us. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, use the chat. Make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees, okay? That way, everyone can see your comment. If you have a question for me and there's time at the end, I will go through the Q&A. Okay, everybody ready? Let's get started. We have hands raised. We will get rolling. Angela, you're first.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm on a commuter train. Can you put me a couple people, like put somebody ahead of me and let me come back?
Absolutely.
It's really hard for me to, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Bye. I tell you what, Angela, why don't you just raise your hand again and I'll take you in a couple of minutes. Yeah, there you go. All right, Kathy, you're next. Oh, you're welcome, Carrie. I'm using the mic tonight. I'm using my headphones. And I just got distracted. Kathy, raise your hand again. Pretty please. Sorry about that. All right, let's get you rolling now. I'll click the right thing. Ask to start video. Okay, there you are.
Hey.
Hi there, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. What's up?
This is my first time doing this, so I am very nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous. This is the good stuff.
So I am a data girl like you are.
Must
awesome. Be with the name.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I am living in my past too much and can't get to a point where I believe I can be successful and actually lose the weight, get below 200 pounds because I haven't been able to do it.
Okay.
And I've been within reach of it for probably 5 years.
Okay.
Tell me about your dad.
Go ahead.
So since I joined in September, I actually started doing the podcast in August.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined in September. I've lost every month except December. I know I don't lose big leaps, but I've lost every month. So again, data is telling me I can be successful, but I've also still lost, given the day, maybe 12 pounds.
Okay.
So it's not a lot. But again, there's that part of me that feels like am I holding myself back because I don't really believe I can do it.
Well, let's start here. Let's not say 12 pounds isn't a lot.
Okay.
Okay. That's a thought. If we put that in the model, we put 12 pounds, lost 12 pounds in the C line. Your thought is it's not a lot. I bet there's girls on this call who would love to lose 12 pounds.
Right.
Okay. So let's not minimize the success that you've had. That's super important for you, especially since you tend to bump up against, I've never done this before.
Right.
You see how that goes together?
Totally.
It's not a lot. You know, it's like you're almost afraid to hope. You're almost afraid, you know, I just don't know about this. I don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I haven't been under 200 in 20 years, 21 years.
Okay. So what?
So I know. And that's why I feel like all I'm doing is living in my past. And I haven't been able to figure out how to get by it.
Okay. So why? Okay. So what coaching does and what this program does is it takes the focus off the past and it puts it on the present and into the future.
Right. Okay.
So that's probably what drew you to this program.
Because, totally.
Yes. So what if I were to tell you that, well, I'll just tell you this. Corinne has a famous saying that says your past is your teacher, not your fortune teller.
Yep. Because I've heard that.
Because of the model, we know that a thought that we have today creates a result. You can take that and make it a little bit broader and say you can create your future by what you're thinking.
Okay.
Okay. So if we were to put, how long has it been since you've been under 200? How many, 20 years?
21 years.
Your C line is 21 years since, let's see, less than is this way, less than 200 pounds. Okay?
Yep.
And your thought is what?
I'll never get below 200 pounds.
Yeah, I'll never get there. Never.
Yeah, I know that I've been, I mean, my highest was at 265. So mm-hmm. I know I've lost a lot of weight.
Well, let's just do this model, okay?
Yeah.
Because you know where this is going, don't you?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. What's the feeling?
Frustrated, mm-hmm. disappointed.
And when you're frustrated, what do you do or not do?
You know, the reality is I keep doing it, but I don't know that I put it 100%. So I'm doing the four basics. I keep living my healthy life, but I don't know that I ever challenge myself to take it to the next step.
Okay. I don't challenge myself. You don't challenge yourself because you don't have a belief in yourself.
Right.
That's why. You don't believe that you, I mean, why bother? Right?
Right. Totally.
And the result is that there's no level ups to get you below 200.
Right.
Okay. So this is the future you're creating with this thought.
Okay.
To get you below 200. Okay. You see that? Okay. You see how, I mean, if you perpetuate this thought, then there's no, I mean, you're not going to do it. You're going to hit. There's a book that you should read called The Big Leap.
Okay.
And it's by a guy named Gay Hendricks. H-E-N-D-R. I can't really see over there. D-R-I-C-K-S, I think. But his first name is Gay Hendricks. And he talks about this glass ceiling that we bump up against when we have a big goal. And that glass ceiling is the belief that you bump up against that this is good enough. Right? So your goal might be up here and you hit this glass ceiling right here and you're like, well, maybe this is good enough. Maybe I'm okay here at 205 or 210 because right. I'll never get below 200 and stay there anyway.
Right.
So if you perpetuate that belief, you're going to bump up against that ceiling. All right. So how do you fix that? Right. You start leveling up this thought. Now I have a feeling if we put a thought in there that says I can lose all this weight and feel great, that you're going to be like, it's a no, right?
I'd love to believe it, but it's, yeah, not there.
Right. So what if we were to just say, I'm learning to believe new things, or I'm open to believing new things, or I'm willing to try to believe new things. Which one?
Okay.
Which one really do you think you can latch onto? If any,
I'm willing to try. Okay. I'm willing to try.
And I think that's true because you're here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm willing.
Can't tell you how many models I've done around this.
Have you done one with this thought?
I think so.
How did it look? Do you remember?
It had me, you know what? It depended on my mood. Some days it had me getting, so the result was below 200. Some days it was unknown results.
Okay, so the result of this model with this thought isn't below 200.
Okay.
So maybe that's where your hang up is.
Okay.
So if you think I'm willing to try to believe new things, is there a feeling attached to that?
Curious.
Okay.
And hopeful. Those would be probably my two.
Okay. I'll give you two.
I think I like curious better.
All right. So we'll put a star next to curious.
Okay.
When you feel curious about trying, about being willing to try new things, what are you doing or not doing?
Trying new things. I'm tracking new things to see how things go.
Okay.
I'm assessing my data.
Okay. Are you experimenting at all?
Yeah.
Do you sound uncertain? I don't want to put it in there if you're not.
Yeah, I think I'd be trying, you know, again, curious to try some new things. You got to track it. Okay. Yeah.
Are you okay with making mistakes or okay with finding things that don't work and moving to something else?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I am a problem solver. I'm an engineer, so I am a problem solver.
Okay. So
I get mistakes.
All right. So you solve problems. Are you journaling?
Yes.
Are you paying any attention to what's going on in your head?
I'm trying. So okay. I'm still learning to really tap into that.
All right. So we're learning.
Yep.
To journal. And all this is fine. Okay. Because up here, we're willing to try to believe new things. This is not like, I'm doing all the basics. I've got it all nailed, right? It's things that you're willing to try to believe. What are you doing to be willing to try to believe? So basically, you're being open by looking at your data and mm-hmm. trying new things and experimenting a little bit, seeing if there's something to solve, those kinds of things, right? So it's right. not like you're nailing everything, and that's okay.
Okay.
All right. So the result here is not lose weight or get under 200 pounds. The result here is that you gain an openness to look forward instead of past.
Okay.
Okay.
Never thought about it that way.
Yes. That's the result that you need.
Okay.
Is to start gearing your mind toward what you can accomplish rather than what you've already done. Because I can tell you, before I lost my weight, I hadn't been under 200 pounds. I couldn't even tell you the last time I was under 200 pounds. It was probably 20 years.
Right.
Seriously. Now, I did have a stint at one point, I can't tell you how many years ago it was, where I got down to 150 because I did this diet where I ate. It was a very strict diet plan that took me into ketosis. And I had to pee on a stick once a week to make sure I was still in ketosis. And the minute I came off that diet, it was like a month and I had gained all my weight back and had lost like 50 pounds. So obviously that wasn't the thing for me. But I was seriously where you are. And I had to every day, instead of saying, you know what, the future's bright, I can get there. Every day I just had to get up and say this. I'm willing to try to believe new things. I'm willing to try this. I'm open to seeing what today brings. Oh, okay. Look, this week I'm down 2 pounds. Well, maybe I'll try another day. Maybe I'll try another week.
Okay.
Okay. If you can take it in smaller pieces, what happens is you show up doing your actions and you create a result. And when you create the result of a little bit of weight loss, a little bit each week, 12 pounds every few months, right? Your thought becomes more believable. Wait, maybe I can lose this weight. Hey, hang on. I've lost 12 pounds. Maybe I can lose 13. Maybe there's a 14th. And eventually you keep adding ones to it every week or two. And all of a sudden you're below 200 and you didn't realize it. Or you did realize it and you're beginning to build a new belief. Because you've created the result.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think I was so stuck in that my result had to be under 200 pounds that I never, like the middle just never worked.
Yeah.
So.
You could do a model that had your result below 200 pounds, but I don't think you're ready to believe that model yet.
No.
Right?
No, I'm not.
And you know what it takes to get there, but the thought, you know, I can get under 200 pounds, it doesn't land yet. So you have to take it, to me, you have to take it in smaller chunks and build the belief in yourself that you can lose the weight and that you can live a life that, you know, isn't all chicken and broccoli and you know, whatever it was. Right. Yeah. And you're not miserable and deprived and restricted. And
yeah. And actually, I was listening to one of the podcasts recently. I think it was the public one that was somebody said, I'm enjoying losing weight. And so I was like, ooh, that's an interesting thought. Like, I need to grab into that. How can I enjoy losing weight?
That's a really great question. So what's the answer?
The answer is I don't crazy restrict. I figure out how to live my life. And something I did commit to years ago was I wouldn't do anything that I couldn't do forever. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't tell my 18-year-old daughter why I was doing it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm doing this because I have to lose weight. Like, no, I'm doing it to be healthy. I'm doing it to be fit. I'm doing it so I can be around longer. Like, but if it's not overly restrictive, she would never call me out on it because it's normal. Mm-hmm. So
one of the things I learned as I was losing weight about enjoying the process, mm-hmm. was, and this, I hope this doesn't sound hokey to anybody, but when I started paying attention to my hunger scale, it brought my attention back to my food. And I realized how good some of my food tasted.
Right.
When you're sitting in front of the TV and you're just barreling in pizza, you know, and you know, after a little while, you stop tasting it.
Totally.
Right? But if you're sitting with a reasonable portion on your plate and you're paying attention to your plus two, and there's not as much to eat, you can really focus in on enjoying your food. You can try new things. I tasted foods. I had forgotten what they tasted like. That's part of enjoying the process, is discovering new things, new recipes, new ways of cooking. It's all part of enjoying the process. Plus, you feel better. You know, sleep better. You don't have indigestion because you've overeaten. There's a lot of ways to enjoy it on the way down if you just
look for them. Excellent. Thank
Make
you.
Sense? You're welcome.
Yeah.
Does that help? Just model better?
I think so. Yeah. I'll be curious because I'm going to camp in April.
Oh, good.
And we'll see where my thinking is by then and, you know, and where we take it.
If you're still in this model, it's okay.
Right.
All right. As long as you're doing these actions,
okay,
you're probably creating a result that's like this, that you're working on looking forward, that you're creating. If you understand that the model helps you create the result that you want, you just have to find a thought that you're willing to think.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you.
See you in April. That's only a month from now. Well, it's actually, camp is like 6 or 7 weeks or something, but it's going to be here before we know it.
Oh, it'll be here immediately. You never know.
Right. All right.
Excellent. Thanks, Kathy.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.
All right. Hannah, you're next. And then Angela, if you're ready, we'll do you after Hannah. Uh-oh. What happened, Hannah? I don't think that was me. Let's try again.
Hey.
All right. Maybe we've got you this time.
Hey.
Hello.
Kathy.
How you doing?
I don't know if you remember me. We met at October Camp at the Century Club luncheon.
Oh, yes. I do. How are you?
Good. This is my first time getting coached, so I'm a little nervous.
Oh my gosh, you're Century Club and you've never been coached?
I know, right?
Wow. What's up?
Well, since October camp, I've kind of been going back and forth with the same 10 pounds.
Okay.
It's due to binging mainly from two things. The first one's feeling overwhelmed, and then the second one is feeling really exhausted by people. And I posted an Ask Coaches a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you were the one who replied to it, but it was talking about going to conferences and a lot of times coming home from the conferences and binging.
Okay.
And this semester I've had two conferences. I have one next week. So I just wanted to get coach before I head into that. After the Ask Coaches, I got some really good advice. I didn't actually binge after the conference. I ended up not binging during the conference, but just kind of constantly overeating.
Okay.
But at the conferences, it's like an accounting PhD conference. And so I guess throughout the conference, I'm supposed to be like making network connections and talking about research. And I'm an introvert, so that can make me feel uncomfortable and awkward. And due to like budget restrictions with my PhD program, we like share rooms with other PhD students. So it's just like literally the entire time of the conference, there's not much time by yourself. And going through the holiday planning course, I realized I was planning for events. I would do well at the event, and then after the event, I would come home and binge. And after like doing the discovery worksheets, it finally clicked, like, oh, you're seeking like relief and to restore your energy with a binge when you get home. So I've like identified the problem, but I'm still working towards finding a solution for me.
Do you live by yourself?
No, I'm married.
Married. Okay. I am too. You know that. So I am also an introvert, and camps, weekends, 5 days, wipe me out. You can ask my husband. I come home and it's like zombie land comes over me.
Yeah.
And it takes me, after some camps, especially when we had the 2 day attached to it, and we would go in a day early to have a meeting, it might be a 5 day event. I would be just, it would be like Wednesday before I felt like myself again. And we also share rooms, and I love the people I share rooms with.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. Now, I don't come home and binge. I've never really been a binge eater, but I do come home and sleep because I have learned that this is my cycle. And I have to take care of myself. I have to find pockets of time to take care of myself when I'm at these events. So imagine, if you will, Relationships Weekend is coming up this weekend, and I'm teaching. All right. So not only am I at the event and Coach Kathy and all the things and taking care of Corinne, I'm teaching. So I have to find pockets of time, ways to recharge. Okay. So in my, if we were to do this model, let's do it a little bit higher. Let's see. And we'll just put events up here and conferences. Okay. In my action line, I have create recharge time. I have to intentionally create recharge time for myself. Okay. And I do it in different ways, like I told you. You know, sometimes I go for a walk by myself. Sometimes I just go find a quiet place in the hotel. So I just disappear. I mean, and it can just be for half an hour, but it's enough to give me time to recharge. Sometimes it's making sure when I come home that I can come home to a quiet house, that I can, you know, not that Ken's, you know, not here, but I come home and I settle in. I put my pajamas on. I start taking care of myself. Okay, what you're doing is taking care of yourself. You're recharging through your binge, right? That's how you're zoning out. You have to find, so your action line would have find a way other than binge, other than eat. To recharge. And it might take experimentation.
Yeah.
It might take coming in, putting your suitcase down, saying hi, honey, and getting in the bathtub. Or crawling into bed. Or just allowing yourself to decompress in some other way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the result of this would be obviously return to normal, I suppose, return to normal programming. But the feelings line is intentional. So when you walk in the house, you're going to have the urge to binge. You're going to be like, binge. You're going to be like, I have to eat right now so that I can zone out, so that I can recharge.
So yeah, after the first conference, I came home. It was like 10:30 at night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm too exhausted to go to bed. I must binge first.
Yes.
Like, that was, and I stayed up till like 2:30 a.m. I think. Mm-hmm. Binging, because I was just like, in my brain, I couldn't even move on to an activity like sleeping, which requires, you know, yeah, no energy at all, because I felt so completely exhausted. Like, yeah, I run a lot of half marathons, and I was like, I feel more tired than if I just ran two half marathons, like on a Saturday and a Sunday. Like, I just felt,
yeah. So for you, you have to find a way to not be as exhausted when you get home. So mm-hmm. recharge at your event in some way.
Yeah.
And you have to recognize that thought error. I'm too tired to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was finishing phase three of No BS today, and a thought came up, and I was happy when I checked the coaching calls and saw there was a mm-hmm. call available with you today. Because mm-hmm. a thought came up of, I feel like I might be judging myself for feeling exhausted from being around other people.
Yeah.
And I wonder if I could find a way to let go of that judgment, if that would take off a level of like intensity around it.
It absolutely would. What if it's just okay that you're tired about around mm-hmm. being other people? Yeah. I am. If you can, maybe you can use me as your person, as mm-hmm. your avatar, and say, you know, Kathy's tired too, and she finds ways to figure this out.
Yeah.
Right? She finds ways to care for herself during the event and after the event.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I find? You know, I know it's possible because Kathy does this.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's shocking to everyone that I'm an introvert.
No, I was very glad when I was like, Kathy will get me. Like, Kathy will
understand. Yes.
Kathy's totally an introvert too, so she will understand.
Yes. Yeah.
So I made a list. The coach and Ask Coaches had me make a list of 25 things to do okay. that would bring me energy when I got back home. Mm-hmm. The last conference, I didn't really use that because, like I said, I kind mm-hmm. of ate throughout the conference to not drop my energy levels. But this next conference is going to be longer than the last one. We're sharing a room with an additional person instead of just two people. It's going to be three people. So just like, and I'm presenting at the conference. So just everything's a little bit more intense, which is why I wanted to get on here.
Oh, everything is more intense.
I know,
right? There's your thought, right? Where do you think that one's going to take you?
Extra stressed and tired and
right.
craving a binge.
Right, yeah. Right. Extra what did you say? Extra intense? Stressed,
tired, intense, yeah.
Tired and binge craving, craving a binge, crave binge, probably binge. Right, result is the, you know, the binging gets more intense. I don't know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The intensity does rise though.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's not more intense? What if you find a way to at least make it tolerable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does tolerable look like? How about if you walk into this room of two other people and say, I love y'all, but I'm not sharing a bed. You guys got that bed? I got this one.
Yeah, we've already established I am the one sharing the bed, but I did think about mm-hmm. like at the last conference, we were like in bed, lights closed, like ready to go to sleep. And the other person says, oh, I wanted to tell you this about UTD, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, can we continue this conversation on our 4-hour ride tomorrow? And she was like, that's all I wanted to say. And I'm like, okay. And then in the morning I was like trying to listen to podcasts and she kept talking to me and I was like, okay, next conference, I'm going to tell them like, please do not talk to me. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
this much time before
yeah.
we go to bed and this early in the morning. because it just made me feel so out of whack. And in the morning I don't typically eat breakfast very early. You know, like most people, I'm kind of like a 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. breakfast eater. And I was like, man, I just can't wait to go to that conference to like go face down in like whatever pantry or pastry they had. Cause I was just already starting the day, like feeling so drained and like not.
But you were feeling drained, not because of the people you were with.
Mm-hmm.
Or because they were talking at night, or because you were sharing a bed, you were feeling drained because of a thought.
Yes.
Right?
What is that thought that makes me feel so drained when I am around other people?
So you're sharing a bed. People are talking.
Mm-hmm.
All the things in your C line, right? Sharing a room. A room drained. So why are you drained when these things are happening?
Trying to think. Kathy, I cannot think of a thought here that's making me feel this way. Mm-hmm.
Because you've never paid any attention to why you're drained. You've always blamed it on this and on being an introvert.
Yeah, and I have never focused on what that thought was in that situation. Okay. I don't know. I guess in the morning, like a thought I did have in the morning when she was talking to me is just like, why can I not just get a minute to myself? That's a question, not a thought really, but yeah.
So maybe it's, I just need a minute to myself.
Yeah.
Or I can't get away.
Yes. Oh, yes. That was.
I think that's it.
The thought. Yes.
And I came up with that because in my mind I said, why can't she get a minute? Why can't I get a minute by myself?
Yes. And it was because.
You answered the question.
Kind of glued to me the entire conference. And I had to really fight for every moment I did get away.
So yeah. I can't get away.
Yeah.
Drained. And when you feel drained, action?
Seek food to kind of restore energy.
Seek food. What else?
I don't really show up like I want to at the conference. So instead of engaging and networking with people, I just am already feeling drained. So I don't want to expend more energy.
Okay. What else?
Probably not just also showing up to the people I know in the way I want. Like I'm just trying to, does that make sense? Like I'm trying to just get away instead of like being more who I would consider myself. I'm just, I guess, kind of putting up like a wall of trying to get some distance without just being upfront and being like, you know, could you just like, let me listen to this podcast in 20 minutes and then we can talk about this or something like that.
So is it bad that you put up walls and ask to listen to podcasts and stuff? I think you're going judgment land there.
So I don't think it's bad to put up a wall if I actually state that, but I think I'm expecting that person to just give that to me without being clear.
Is there anything wrong with you saying, look, I just need a minute. Is there anything, do you perceive yourself as not showing up the way you want to if you have to ask for a minute to yourself?
No, I don't think that's, my husband's cat's very hangry in the background.
Okay.
I don't know if you
that's okay.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with me asking for a minute. I think it is more me just getting frustrated and being like, why don't they know? Which of course they're not going to know if I don't vocalize it.
Okay. Is there anything else you do or don't do when you're drained at these conferences?
That is all that's coming to my mind right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think the result is here? I can't get away, drained, seek food, don't show up, put up walls.
Let's see. I'm trying to tie it back to the thought. And I mean, the result really is just I do leave the conference feeling like it could have gone better. I could have made more connections. I could have gotten more out of it. And then I come back home and I just feel so completely exhausted. In the first conference I had this semester, I binged for like 4 days after the conference. So I was doing very well on my weight loss. And then that hit and it like erased all of my weight loss that month.
So the focus is on leaving rather than the conference, which essentially means you didn't get what you wanted out of the conference.
Yes, because when I'm at the conference, I just think the whole time, like, oh, I just can't wait to be home. I feel so drained.
So why do you go to the conferences?
Because I will be on the market next year, meaning, like, I will be looking for a professor position at a university next year. So I go to these conferences to make connections, learn about other universities. This conference, I'll be presenting a research paper of mine and getting feedback on that.
Well, let's do
that. I go to them.
This is my favorite thing to do. I'm going to work the model from the bottom up. Okay. When you go to this conference, what's the result you want to create?
I want to feel like it was a good use of my time as far as networking and making good like research connections. Like both giving feedback on other people's research and getting like presenting my research well.
Okay. Network, make connections, good presentation. Those are that's the result you want to create. The overall experience for this conference.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what does Hannah have to do to make this happen? Not, you know, anybody, but what do you have to do? Not what I would do or what Corinne would do or somebody else. What do you need to do to ensure this result for yourself?
I think I need to stick to my morning and night routines as much as possible. Even though I will, you know, not be at home and will be around people not normally around during the morning and at night. Get like my sleep. That's very important. And, go into the conference feeling like I'm not already depleted. That was kind of a problem with this last conference too. I went into the conference, I hadn't slept a lot the night before. So it's kind of like I started the conference already at like a low energy standpoint.
So you need to prepare well before you go. Not prepare like study, but prepare your body, prepare your mind.
Some of it studying, but a lot of it
is, you know,
just being at a good place with my energy before I go.
Because you can, I think it's reasonable to expect your energy will deplete a little bit.
And
maybe that's part of the action line. Expect and be okay with some energy depletion.
The being okay is a big thing because I did not catch it until I was going through phase three today. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think I'm judging myself for depleting, even though I know it is, as an introvert, like something that is expected to happen. I'm judging myself for it. And I think I have trouble taking time to rest, even just in daily life, and almost think I should kind of be a machine and just like go through everything and stick to my time blocks perfectly and get all this research done and all this. And I don't give myself the grace to like rest.
So I would offer you one more thing from a fellow introvert. The day you come back, you don't plan a heavy work day. You plan either a rest, a day where you can just rest and recharge, or you plan a very light work day.
Yeah.
My Mondays after events are always like super, super light. Because I know personally that I'm going to need that. I'm going to have energy depletion. And if I need to show up at work feeling really good about myself and about the work I'm doing, it's hard for me to do that when I'm depleted. So I would offer that the first day home is a light day.
Yeah.
That way you also know, home is light. That way you also know as you're going through the conference, mm-hmm. that when you get home, you have an opportunity to recharge without binging. Mm-hmm. At least you know that that option is available to you.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I would also visualize coming home and whatever self-care you're going to do in order to, you visualize the conference and visualize coming home, whatever self-care you decide you're going to do.
Yeah.
Okay. To recharge. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you have to feel to do these things at the conference and when you get home?
Intentional.
Okay.
Like instead of just being reactive, planning ahead and really thinking about my choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love being intentional. Mm-hmm. And I figured that out after doing this job for about 6 or 8 months when I was super duper reactive and always felt like I was playing catch up. Mm-hmm. And I decided I didn't like the way that felt.
Yeah.
So being intentional feels much more controlled. Mm-hmm. When you're binging, you're reacting.
Right.
Right. So in order to feel intentional and do these things to create this result, what do you have to think?
Yeah, I struggle with the thoughts. Let's see. I can have a successful conference experience.
Okay. Does that feel?
That does not feel intentional.
Right. That doesn't feel like something you can get to, does it?
No.
I'm learning to have my own back at these conferences.
Okay.
I'm learning to, I can create opportunities to network and connect.
Mm-hmm. I can create a good conference experience.
Yeah. Do you believe that?
Yes. Yeah. And that's definitely a thought that I want to move towards, because I would say when talking about these conferences, I'm like, oh, these conferences. Did not mean to get a notification there. About the conferences, like, oh, I have these conferences and they're draining, even though I'm so excited to go because it's a good experience and not everyone mm-hmm. gets the opportunity to go to these. But I do kind of make them out to be a dramatic thing, whereas I would like to focus on the thought of I can create this to be a good experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can even say I can create my own conference experience mm-hmm. and take good out of it if you want to, if that's... Yeah. You know, however you want to nuance it will work. And this really does prove the thought, because this is how you define a good conference experience, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that help?
Yes, that helps so much.
Okay.
Yes, I feel a lot more relaxed thinking about this conference next week. Before mm-hmm. I got on this call, I was already feeling very anxious about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you have to, if you tap into this intentional, while you're there and when you get home and you plan ahead of time, you will probably still have the urge to binge, because that is that's been your pattern.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. But then that's when you open up that dialogue with yourself, at least for a little while, that says, you know, I hear the thought error, I'm too tired to go to sleep, but let me try. I'm going to give it 30 minutes. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to put my pajamas on and I'm going to lay down for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if I'm still too tired to go to sleep after 30 minutes, then I'll have something to eat or something like that. Do something, kind of negotiate with yourself that way. Open up some doors to other ways of handling it.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Yes.
Thank you so much. I have a lot of these conferences coming up in the next year, so I really wanted to get on and discuss with you. Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you look at these conferences as an opportunity to find the perfect job for you. Mm-hmm. It could help you with your energy. You know, when you go into them with dread, you're not looking at what the conference has to offer you and what what you can gain from the conference. You're looking at, oh, great, here's another conference and I've got to share a bed, you know, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
All right, Angela. Are you there? There you are.
I sure hope so. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. If you had any idea what it took for me to get here in a quiet place and talk to you, I was on a commuter train and it's so hard to get on the calls because I'm always on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, super happy to talk to you.
So where are you? Are you like in a train station?
No. I'm at home now, but I threw all the dinner ingredients at my husband and said, do this.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So here
That's
I am.
That's awesome.
But I have to tell you, you have the best laugh ever. Your laugh is so sweet. I just love your laugh.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So soothing. So
thank you. Thank you. My kids used to make fun of my laugh. So I was always kind of listening to it in the background going, is that really that funny?
No, it's just so sweet. And like, it's just nice. I mean, I just have one of those guffaws, you know? So anyway, my accountability partners have been telling me for quite some time, I need to get on a call. So I don't know if it's better if I kind of give you my list or...
Okay, so
I've been a member since June. Mm-hmm. I've gained 6 pounds in that time. Mm-hmm. I have about 50 pounds that I'd like to lose.
Okay.
I've been keeping my data. I write plans. All the things, the four basics I'm supposed to do, I do it with regularity, except I have difficulty, great difficulty with 2 to 2 mm-hmm. and eating on plan, and I binge occasionally.
Okay.
I think what kind of prompted me to get on the call today, one of the accountability partners said, again, you need to get on a call. And I just had a week at my mom's house. She lives out of state. And there's a lot of drama with my relationship with my mom and my family. And I did my water, did my plan. I, you know, thought it through, you know, keep these things in mind and all this kind of, you know, self-talk. Mm-hmm. And I walked almost every day, but I overate and binged almost every single day I was there. Like I was just mm-hmm. completely out of control. Okay. I'm a sweets person. So, mm-hmm. That's another thing. Like, I don't even know if I should put sweets on my plan. I know we're not supposed to be afraid of foods or whatever, but I feel like I hit a wall every time I'm with the sweets. So,
okay. So sweets are not on your plan at all?
Well, I put it, sometimes I put it on, sometimes I leave it off because I haven't hit the sweet spot, so to speak, as to what the right thing is for me.
Okay.
Is it maybe, should I try to gain more control and get more, fluent in the program and applying it before I try to introduce that? Like one day I had bought M&Ms and I counted out my 28, they were on my plan. And then like a couple of days later, I knocked out the rest of the bag and that was not what I was supposed to do. So should I have not had the M&Ms in the first place? I set myself up.
Right. We'll just pause there for a minute about the M&Ms. When you put them on the plan, you're eating them intentionally. Like I was just talking to Hannah about the difference between being intentional and being reactive. Right. So if you put mm-hmm. 28 M&Ms or whatever the number was on your plan, you ate them with intention.
And it felt great.
That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Whenever you eat, you're supposed to eat open-minded, open-eyed, with intention, understanding that I'm eating right now and I'm enjoying my food. If you're reactive eating, then you probably were not picking up an M&M and eating it. You're probably just cramming them in.
That's pretty much how it was like at my mom's this week.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were reacting by eating, which means you weren't enjoying your food. It wasn't planned. And then you probably went through the beatdown cycle about it.
Right.
So that's eliminated if you put it on your plan because you've decided ahead of time that it's okay to be there. So you put it on.
So then I get into the issue. Well, if I put 28 M&Ms, is that realistic? Because I really want the whole bag. That's realistic. Mm-hmm. So that has been an issue for me. I'm also, I'm thinking maybe this feels like other diets for me in that I feel like I have a good day, then I have a bad day and ruin everything, or I'll have a good day up till 4 o'clock and then I, you know, go off the plan and I ruin everything. And I don't like that cycle. I want this to be different. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. One of my partners said that she started very, very, very slowly. Mm-hmm. And she's lost like 50 pounds. And mm-hmm. so I like that approach. I think I've been trying to do too much too fast. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the complications for me is the lack of consciousness. When I'm overeating, my head isn't screaming, but Angie, you have a plan. But Angie, you know, Corinne said this, or but Angie, my goals are more important than my toddler brain. I mean, that's just not there. It's just nothing is there. And it's just food going in, you know? And then afterwards I feel terrible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you make your brain start working, you know, to be more conscious and more present?
By the time you're eating, you've already reacted and you've already turned off your brain. Okay. Does that make sense? So if you're eating, if you're binging, if you're eating, if you're cramming it in, your brain is not open to new thoughts because you've already, the model you're running has started with whatever thought has created the drama that's created the reaction to eat. That's the cycle that you're in. It's like you have a thought that's created the reaction, that's created the binge, and then you go back to the thought. It's like a cycle. You have to interrupt the cycle to introduce the new thought, which you do by creating a new day. That's what you're doing.
Yes.
So you interrupt this. Once you start into this cycle, you're done for the day, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So no, not pretty much. I am, yes.
Right. So you have to interrupt the cycle somehow, take a pause, interrupt the cycle, tell yourself it's okay that you had an overeat.
Where? At what point do I tell myself that?
Wherever you interrupt it.
That's usually when I stick to my stomach from overeating.
Yeah. All right, I binged. It's time to do a discovery worksheet, and it's okay that this happened. What you're doing is sitting in self-judgment about it. You're saying, oh my God, I'll never get this. Here we go again. Right? That's the shame spiral. When you're sitting in shame, you're not gonna do anything but sit in shame. You're not gonna tell yourself it's okay. You're not gonna do any of that stuff. You have to pull yourself out of that in order to start again. And what you're doing is you're throwing away the rest of the day and then getting up the new day the next morning. The interrupt is the overnight sleep.
Right.
The next morning is the okay, let's try this again.
So is there some kind of like put a rubber band on my wrist or like some kind of exercise or something I can do to, you know, snap out of it, you know, be more conscious or aware because it's just not happening.
The whole exercise is being okay with where you are. And you do that by creating a realistic plan. I would put 28 or 30 M&Ms on your plan every single day. If that's what you binge on, I'd put them on there every single day.
It's more like whatever's available, whatever sweet thing is available. Mm-hmm. Now I was very proud that I had a bag of M&Ms. I'm sorry. I cut them on the brain. Girl Scout cookies in my bag all day, mm-hmm. brought them home and did not touch them. But mm-hmm. if I had opened the bag and taken one cookie, it had been all over.
Well, but tell me why you didn't touch them.
I knew that if I didn't touch them, I would not eat them at all. And that would be fine. That would be safe.
Okay. So that's all or nothing. It's either eat the whole box or none at all.
And that terrifies me.
Yeah. How does it feel when you restrict like that?
I feel great that I didn't eat them because for the past week I've been at my mom's eating mm-hmm. like everything in sight. So mm-hmm. I'm not feeling restricted. I'm not feeling sad. I don't want them. I just can't take the first bite. I've known this about myself since before PNP. I'm better off if I never take the first bite. Is that a bad thought?
Well, I'm thinking about this because I used to be the same way. If I started a diet, I did a great job on the diet until I made the first mistake. And then the diet was over.
Right.
So learning how to make the first mistake and come back is a skill that you have to teach yourself. Have you ever read the book Finish?
No.
By John Acuff. Have you heard us talk about it? Acuff. It's all about perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the next step for you.
I'm reading the rules of normal eating right now.
Oh, that's a good one too. That's a good one too. But what's hitting you with this, if I don't eat the first bite, I'm fine. But if I eat one, then I eat the whole thing. That's all or nothing.
But it feels so much safer than the alternative.
Well, sure it does. Because you're not overeating. You're not eating the things at all that scare you. It doesn't really feel safe. It just is ignoring the work that you have to do. And the work that you have to do is to find a way to be okay with making a mistake and moving on to the next meal, to the next food decision. So one of the concepts that he talks about in this book is the day after perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And how do you have all this perfection, all this, I didn't eat any of the Girl Scout cookies. And then one day I open the box because I think I can just have one, and you eat the whole box. How do you show up after you eat the whole box? That's what he talks about in this book. You show up in shame. I'll never get this. See, I ate the whole box, Kathy. I never should have had the first one. Right?
I use it as such a crutch for emotions that I really truly don't enjoy the sweets unless that I can go crazy on them. You know?
Oh, no, that's a thought error. That's not true.
Okay, let's fix it.
Right. No, you have to recognize that as a thought error. I don't enjoy the sweets unless I eat all of them. So you would not enjoy one piece of a cake. You'd have to eat the whole cake to enjoy it.
Yes.
Is that true?
I mean, until I feel sick to my stomach. Yeah.
If I came over there right now and I said, here you go, here's a piece of cake, you wouldn't enjoy that at all.
I would, but I'd be looking for the rest of it after you left, and I'd be eating behind your back, or behind my back, I guess.
No, you're eating it in front of your back.
Yeah.
What's wrong with wanting more?
There's nothing wrong with wanting more. It's that I proceed with the, action.
Why is it wrong?
Why is it wrong to want more or to proceed with the action?
Why is it wrong to proceed with the action? There's the judgment.
Because I don't need it. Mm-hmm. And I'm using it as a, emotional crutch.
But why? Okay. But there's nothing wrong with wanting it. I can tell you that when I eat cheesecake, I'm wanting another piece. But if I let myself sit there for a minute, the urge goes away.
To have it or to have more?
Yeah. Have you ever sat
with it? Wait, I'm sorry, I'm confused. To have the first piece or to have more?
To have more. Have you ever sat with an urge? Mm-hmm. What happens? What happens when you sit with an urge? Tell me what an urge feels like in your body.
Well, I feel like there's two kinds. There's a kind where it's sitting there and it just looks good and I can pass it up. And there's another when something's going on and my emotions are revving and it just, my consciousness is not, should I do this or shouldn't I do this? I just do it.
But what does it answer your question? Your body? What does it feel like? I've brought over a whole cake and I've given you a piece and you've eaten the piece.
Oops, I lost you. Can you see me?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I can see you now. And your brain starts churning with, I want more, right?
It'll be wait till Kathy's gone and then I'm going to have more.
No, yeah. I want you to stop with, I want more, and think about how your body feels. Are you jittery? Is your heart beating?
I've tried that exercise and I don't notice. Is that true? I feel like I tried it before and there was no physical response. And then another occasion there was, and I did feel kind of fluttery.
There is a physical response. I think you're not sitting long enough with it to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
when I'm emotionally eating,
everybody in the chat, you guys tell me what an urge feels like.
How can I see that while I'm talking to you, or can I?
I don't know. I'll read them to you. Tell me what an urge, when you feel an urge to eat off plan, what does it feel like? Cannot quiet my mind.
I can see them. Yeah.
Oh, you can see them?
Yes.
Anxious. I'm going to read them so the uncomfortable mouth gets tingly, racing thoughts. I have to have it now. Antsy, restless, jittery. I want it now as a thought. But in your body, if you think about from your what's that?
Should somebody drooling. Put drooling?
Right. Right. That's a physical response. An urge is a physical response to a thought. Okay.
Sometimes I don't have a conscious thought, though. It's just feelings I have. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, a thought is always created by a feeling. I mean, a feeling is always created by a thought. Your thought is probably, I want that now. I want more. I have to have more.
I'm having trouble with this because I'm having difficulty relating what you're saying to my experience.
I think there's two situations. Once in a while, I'll be out and I'll have extra pizza just because I want extra pizza. Mm-hmm. And I think I can stop, right? Mm-hmm. But this thing with my mom's for the last week, it really bothers me because there was something going on. Now that I'm away from it, mm-hmm. I recognize there was something going on. I just know there's a lot of bad feelings over many years, and I just try to suck it up and.
All right. Well, tell me which one you want to work on, because I thought we were working on the more, I want more M&Ms. I have to eat. Or do you want to work on the mom?
Well, I'm bringing this to you to help me to kind of parse through.
Okay.
What are you hearing and what do you think is the bigger issue? I don't know.
That's up to you.
The bigger issue.
I don't have a judgment on your issues. You do.
Okay. Well, I guess I was thinking more priority than judgment, but yeah, I mean, I think there's an emotional thing going on that drives the eating, and there's like a lack of consciousness to help me identify what's going on so that I can stop it at some point.
Okay. So let's give me the example that you want to work on.
The example was that I was at my mom's, and for several days each day kind of started out the same way. I might have a good breakfast and then I see cookies, or then I see truffles, or then I see whatever it is. Okay. I start on that and then I eat that literally nonstop all day until I go to bed.
Do you want to talk about how you feel about it now or how you felt about it in the moment?
I know I'm going to be going back to my mom someday and I don't want this ever to happen again.
Okay. So you want to talk about how to handle it?
Yes.
Please. All right. So you're at your mom's,
mm-hmm.
and you see food. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you feel desire. Yep. To eat. Right? So this is kind of we'll call desire the urge. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So when you're at your mom's and you see food, what else is going on up here at your mom's? Tell me what else is going on at your mom's that creates the desire.
I can tell you that the situation when I go there is concern about discord or negative words or arguments in my family.
So I'm concerned about
family strife.
Strife. Is the family strife happening, or are you just worried about it?
I'm worried about it.
Okay. Is that what creates the desire to eat? Because you're so worried that all this is going to happen? Okay.
I mean, not consciously, but now that I'm stepping back from it, I feel that that's probably what's going on.
Okay.
I wasn't aware of that when it was happening.
Okay. But you think this is true? You think this is the thought you were having?
I went to my son's Saturday and Sunday and did not eat like that.
Okay. Because you weren't worried about whatever.
I mean, however the family was going to act. I ate some sweets, probably a little, I was making cupcakes with my granddaughter, mm-hmm. and I was eating some of the batter, and I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I was more aware of it and realized I shouldn't have been doing it. And then I stopped.
Okay.
So, but there's
so
not
my, conscious.
My worry was not there as it was at my mother's house.
Okay. So when you felt the desire, you ate, right?
Yep.
Did you worry some more? Or did you just
totally
zone out?
Yeah, because now I'm worried about,
zone out.
I don't know, sequence wise, mm-hmm. at the end of every day, I felt dreadful about having eaten so much.
Okay.
And the family situation doesn't go away or change until I leave, so.
All right. This is what I think is happening. You're at your mom's, all the people are there, and you're super worried that everybody's not going to get along. There's going to mm-hmm. be family strife, discord, all the things. And because that worry, that concern in your mind agitates you to the point where you get this urge to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't even call this desire. I'd call this probably agitation or something like that. I don't know. You
anxiety.
Would have to tell me. Anxiety. Right. Mm-hmm. Anxiety. Okay.
And I've already identified that as one of the situations that prompts overeats.
Okay. So then you eat and you zone out. Basically, this is called buffering. Do you know that term?
I've never really grasped it until now we're applying it to something. So I get it. Yeah.
So it's a distraction. Mm-hmm. So you're eating to distract. Let's say instead you feel this, oh, I'm so worried that everybody's not going to get along and it's going to be drama and blah, blah, blah. You could go for a walk as your distraction. You could decide to watch TV as your distraction. There's lots of different forms of distraction. But when you're distracting yourself, you're not managing your mind. You're eating instead. You're totally zoning out.
So you're saying okay?
Addressing the worry and the thought. You're dismissing it and you're going underground.
So are you suggesting that because I've done this with other things, when I feel the urge, change activities was one of my solutions for handling an urge.
Well, what that does is that helps the eating.
Right.
It doesn't manage the concern about the family strife.
But that's going to be a constant. That's never going to go away.
What if they're just going to argue? Why do you have to be worried that they won't?
It's stuff they say to me.
So what? They say stuff. What they say is just sentences. You're making it mean something. But if you complete this model and eat or buffer in some way, you're creating your own strife.
May I give you an example?
Absolutely.
Because I want to know how to handle this better.
Okay.
So one morning I woke up, I make myself eggs because I, wanted to have a good day and whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my dad comes down, gets his coffee. Mm-hmm. I offer to make him some. He said, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. And the whole day goes by and then, then lunchtime comes. And I'm not hungry and I'm just sitting there. And they're taking out stuff for lunch. Mm-hmm. Why are you eating? Why aren't you eating? This is lunchtime. And my dad says, you have a problem with eating.
Okay.
And I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, this morning you ate before anybody else was up. Now, mind you, he was right there and I offered him breakfast. Instead of saying, can you wait for mom or something like that? He stores it in his brain and waits till lunch to tell me I have a problem. Mm-hmm. And so he kept repeating that. And I said, Dad, stop talking about that. Mm-hmm. And then I recognized, I don't know, what should I have left the room? Should I just have said nothing and let him talk about what a problem I have? I mean, I didn't want to eat. I wasn't, maybe I would have eaten later. I don't want to be told on, his timetable when I should eat.
So
because I'm getting worked up telling you
that. Right. Yeah. Because he just says words and you make it mean something about you. What do you make it mean about you?
Well, I mean, the eating is a sensitive issue anyway.
What's that?
I think because I felt like he saw inside my soul that, yes, I do have a problem with eating.
He saw inside my soul.
That was dramatic, but.
Yes. Feeling. Self-judge.
Why is that self-judgment?
I don't know. Is it? Is it not?
I just felt very exposed and very vulnerable,
exposed.
You know?
Okay. We'll use exposed. Vulnerable, which one?
I didn't like how I was feeling when I was hearing those words. I mm-hmm. felt like, I'm 56 years old and I don't need to be told when I should eat or what kind of problem I have. Mm-hmm.
So you felt exposed. So what did you do?
Ate lunch.
When you weren't hungry?
And then everything else that was in sight, you know?
Okay. Were you hungry when you ate lunch?
No.
You gave in. You gave in, yeah. Right? Gave in to him.
I just wanted the attention off of me.
Ate. Withdrew?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the result is what?
Overeat. I overeat.
Yeah. You exposed a problem with eating. Exposed your eating.
Yeah. Well, unless I don't have a problem because now I'm eating with family, which is what I guess I was trying to demonstrate.
Exposed right? Your eating to yourself. You proved his thought. You proved what he said because he saw inside your soul.
Well, my problem with eating is different than the one he identified, but yeah.
Doesn't matter. You still sat in self-judgment about your problem with eating. Why can't he just say words? What if he were to go, you know what? You'd look a whole lot better blonde.
Well,
what would you
different.
Say? That's, no, it's not.
Well, in my, okay, but the way it struck me, like, I would just laugh.
Right.
He said, right.
Because he saw inside your soul. That's the thought.
You're good, Kathy. You're good.
But what if he were to say, seriously, if he were to say, you know what? You'd look a whole lot better blonde. What would your thought be?
He's crazy. I mean, I don't
right.
know.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's allowed to think whatever he wants. He's an old man.
So instead, what would be an appropriate response?
Whatever feels right to you. Instead, he hit a spot where you judge yourself.
And I think the whole thing is when I go there, I'm on the defensive. I'm waiting for the next insulting
right.
mean thing that somebody's
right.
going to say.
Right. But if they went around saying all day that you should be blonde, it wouldn't be insulting and mean.
No.
What you're waiting for them to say is something about your eating.
Well, I mean, that's
which you're already judging yourself
right.
about.
That particular one struck a nerve, but there's always something, you know, it's.
Here's what I want you to know. He's allowed to say, think, do, feel, show up however he wants to. Because that's the way we are. And you are allowed to react however you want to. You chose to react feeling exposed and eating.
Well, I told him to stop talking about it, and he stopped. But then make the feelings go away.
No, because he's already said them, and he's allowed to. You're allowed to ignore him. You're allowed to laugh. You're allowed to eat. You're allowed to react however you want to. Whatever feels right to you. See, that's how a relationship works. A relationship works based on how you show up for it. He's probably, honestly, if we were to do his model, if your dad was sitting right here and I asked him, okay, here's your circumstance, this is what you said, his thought's probably, I'm just worried about her because I love her.
I'm dubious, but okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But why, you know, why else would he say something like that?
I really don't know.
Does it matter?
I really don't. No.
Right. That's the first thing you've said that I'm agreeing with.
Oh, come on. I said you had a nice laugh. You got to.
Oh, okay. You can have that one. But seriously, that's what it all comes back to. He's allowed to have an opinion. He's allowed to think you have a problem with eating. He's allowed to think you'd be better with blonde hair. Seriously, that's all it is. He's just allowed to have an opinion. What you're doing is you're making it mean he saw inside your soul. And if he saw inside your soul, that means he touched on something you're judging yourself about. Now, how do you get out of self-judgment about your eating? Because that's a perpetual cycle for you. You judge it, so you eat. So you judge it some more, so you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How do you
do? That was an actual question I was supposed to answer. How do I get out of that? And that's with everything, not just this.
Here's how you do it. You start by hearing it and recognizing it when it happens. There I go again. This is it. I see that I'm doing it. And you start creating awareness about how often it happens. Then what happens after you create the awareness, you start to get sick of seeing it and you start to change it.
Are there any modules or lessons I should maybe focus on to kind of help me with this?
Yes. I would go through phase three over and over and over.
Which one is that?
It's the overeating module. Phase three of no BS.
Of no BS. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd go through it as many times as it takes because you're going to hear things differently each time you work it. And here's the other thing I would do. I would go through the no BS phase three and I would, every time there's a worksheet, I'd pause and I'd work the worksheet. Okay. So if module one has a worksheet, don't go to module two unless you've done the module one worksheet.
Okay. So it's phase three and the modules are within the phase three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can call it up real quick and tell you. Phase three.
I just have to get in there and look at it.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I've probably already done it. I just don't remember.
I'm going through the new one again. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going through the new one.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I left off.
Let's see. The website's coming. Come on, website. Phase three is called, I just want to give you the right title. Mm-hmm. Changing your overeating habits.
Okay.
Is that right? No.
No.
Overcoming overeating. Sorry. Starts with module 11, overcoming overeating. And it talks about how overeating is normal and here's why, what to do with urges, cravings, temptations, and more, changing your overeating habits.
Okay.
That's where I'd go. Okay.
May I ask one quick question?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't want to monopolize everybody's time with you, but one of my accountability partners suggested that I might be making too much drama about the scale. And I feel like I've had this pattern where I might go down a little bit and then somewhere deep inside, it's like, oh, well, you can eat again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just need to stop that. I don't know if that's common.
So that's I was listening to a podcast from the Life Coach School this week. And she talked about how thought errors come up a lot. And when you hear one that you really, that really doesn't work for you, like, oh, look, I can eat. The scale went down a little bit. And you just put it on mute. Just like hit the mute button.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a thought that I have sometimes. And that's just not, that's not true because I want to lose some more weight.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I would just mute it. I'd put it on mute. Hit the mute button on that bad boy. Cause apparently that's not one you want to think because you brought it up.
Right.
I don't think the problem is with the scale. The problem is what you think about
right
when you get on the scale.
All right. Thank you so much, Kathy. You're so welcome. Appreciate it.
I hope it was helpful.
Oh, I'm going to be listening to it over and over again. So
good.
Yes, very much.
All right.
So.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye. Well, hang on. There we go. All right. Shana, you have to tell me which way you like it. I have friends that say it both ways. Hello.
It's Shauna.
Shauna. There's no you in there.
I know.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I need your help.
Okay.
I'm a physical therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I've been treating a patient that I've been getting nowhere with.
Mm-hmm.
And on Monday, I basically told him, you know, we've got to change something. We're not making progress.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very upset. And he called the front office and he complained.
Mm-hmm.
And from what my boss told me, he was very upset and felt that I had given up on him.
Okay.
And that's not what I said.
Okay.
And so I explained, you know, the course of events over the last 2 months. And we just were stuck. It didn't seem like what we were doing, another therapist and I, were getting this patient past where he was stuck. And anyways, I've struggled with him. It's been one of those relationships that, you know, you have some triggering stuff going on in between you and somebody else. And so this one recently, when my boss talked to me, and then I've been distraught.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Are you distraught because he complained? Or are you distraught?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that. And, you know, the thoughts are, first it was like, oh God, I'm in trouble. I did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, if I was just isolating it to one thing, I wouldn't make it about myself. But I just keep writing and I think it comes back to being told I was bad as a little girl. I mean, crazy, right? And I know these things intellectually, and yet I can still go down that rabbit hole and just replay it over and over and over.
Well, let me ask you this. So he calls and he complains.
Mm-hmm.
You could have felt neutral. I knew he was going to call. You know, he wasn't happy when I left.
Right.
But you felt distraught. Why did you feel distraught when he called and complained? It's my fault. Why does it being your fault make you feel distraught? What if it is? What if you just didn't have the right, you know, confluence of whatever it is that you need to treat that patient? Why does that make you distraught?
Because I should have done better. I should have known how to treat him.
Is that true?
Lots of should haves.
Is that true? Let me ask you this. I have TMJ.
Yeah.
Would you know how to treat me?
No, that's out of my scope.
Right. What if this guy's out of your scope?
He's a knee patient. I see knee patients all the time.
Do you see knee patients that make you distraught? Only him, right? Okay, so I should have known how to treat him. This is self-judgment.
Yes. Right?
This is judging yourself.
Yes.
Judging. Distraught. Yes. And when you're distraught, you cry. Probably get defensive. Did you get defensive?
Yes.
What else did you do or not do?
I ruminate for days. I keep replaying it over and over in my head.
Mm-hmm. Replay.
I feel small. When I saw him in the clinic today or anybody, I felt like very shameful. Just like I'd done something really bad.
Okay. And the result is you're not taking care of yourself either. Right?
Right. Or not having my own back or whatever that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you didn't know how to treat him, so you're not taking care of yourself or having your own back or whatever.
That's
all the same, basically. Okay. So this is your model.
Okay.
Right? So what's his name?
Chris.
It's always easier when I know their names. All right. So Chris complained.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris came back in today. And tell me about the model today. He's back in the clinic today.
Yes, my boss saw him and treated him with kid gloves.
Okay. So are you going to see him again?
I don't know. I didn't get to talk to my boss before I left.
All right. So should you have known how to treat him better?
I did what I knew.
I did what I knew. Why aren't you using this thought?
I mean, after the fact, I can, you know, be calm about it, but I just keep hearing the shoulds.
Mm-hmm. Why aren't you answering them with, I did everything I knew to do? Do you have confidence in this thought? Are you a good physical therapist?
Yeah, because if I would have known to do something different, I would have done it.
Oh, that's a good one. If I had known to do something different, I would have. I'm going to abbreviate for the sake of time.
Yeah, it's kind of like
you feel.
It's kind of like if I had another tool in my toolbox, I would have pulled that out.
Yeah.
But I didn't have it.
How's that make you feel?
Just much more neutral. Much more just like.
Right.
Yeah.
As a PT, that's what you need to be, right? Is neutral. You went through your tool chest, you pulled them all out.
Yeah.
And then you actually communicated to him, I've gone through my toolbox, Chris. We're going to have to figure something else out here.
Yeah. And right? I was hoping he would let another therapist in because I knew that. I knew I'd exhausted what I had.
So if he had not called and complained, we wouldn't have an unintentional model. You'd be okay.
I was still frustrated along with it because I knew we weren't making, making progress.
But were you managing the frustration?
I was trying to work with him what mm-hmm. he was open to.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were managing that. That's part of your job, right?
As yeah. Yeah.
So the trigger, what happened that sent you south was the complaint.
Correct.
Right? Correct. That's when you internalized it and made it about you that you didn't do enough. I should have known more. I should have. What if he just complained? What if he just had words?
Well, and you know, I can look at it and say he's doing what he needs to get his needs met. And that's good because mm-hmm. I want his best interest. And maybe this is how it had to play out.
Yeah. Maybe. How many times have you gone to a doctor and not been happy with what they said and gotten a second opinion?
Yeah, that's happened many times. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that first doctor thought, I should have known more? Do you think they just moved on to the next person and said, I gave them what I knew?
Right, right. I did what I knew, what my skill set was.
And when you feel neutral, you just move on to the next person, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To next client. Whoops. And your result is, if I know something, that you show up with all your tools. With the tools you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what you do. When you hear that thought, I should have known more, you make a choice. You either decide, I'm going to sit here and ruminate and make myself feel terrible about it. You decide, maybe I do need to learn something else, and you go to work figuring out if you need more tools.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go to this thought. If I'd known something different, I would have done something different. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I'm going to move on. Those are your choices. Okay? And okay. I make that, I want to emphasize choices. What you're choosing is the rumination part and the beating yourself up part. When you could be choosing either to expand your toolbox or to be okay with the toolbox you have and move on to the next person.
Right.
Okay? I do this all the time. If I could tell y'all how much I judge my coaching...
Yeah.
Or how much I did judge my coaching. Those are the choices that I have. I can sit there and replay calls and go, well, you know what? I should have said this, or I should have said this, or you know what? She just didn't get it. I don't know what I was thinking. Or I can say, I need to work a little bit more on this piece so that the next person I have, I can help, you know, I can deliver that much more education. Or I can say, I showed up my very best on that call. You know, it was up to them to get what they get out of it.
Right.
And if somebody calls Corinne and says, you know what, that Kathy, I don't know. You're going to have to do something with her. Then I get to decide whether or not I give that person relevance or their opinion relevance. He just like the other person, he just said words. You get to make a choice to think and feel whatever you want about what he said. It feels automatic. I should have done more.
Yeah.
Because that's probably something you've practiced your entire life. Now is your opportunity to manage your mind and hear that thought and question it and decide if that's really true and if that's really what you want to believe in this moment.
Is that really what I want to believe?
Yeah.
I was also writing down that, you know, just to create the awareness and say, I'm noticing I'm thinking that again. I'm noticing mm-hmm. self-judgment again, because I think it's a constant. It's a daily. It's just so automatic.
I notice that I'm thinking that again.
Yeah.
Because what that does is it gives you authority because you're noticing. And it calls it a thought.
Right.
Because I should have known more probably felt like a fact at that time mm-hmm. rather than just a thought.
Yeah.
I love that. Notice that I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I hope Angela is still listening, because that's a really good one for, it's a good one for you, Angela.
Yeah, she, you were talking about it with her, and I'm like, ooh, I got to write that down.
Yeah.
So.
Does that help?
Yes, and thank you for letting me like diffuse that. I've been keeping that in for 48 hours.
That's what we're here for.
Okay. You know, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. We are, you know, anytime we are in the world and we are doing things, we are being judged by people. It's just what people do.
Right.
Okay. And Corinne is the first one to say, you stand up at camp, you think nobody uses a no judgment zone? It is. People are judging you. Just talk anyway. Yeah, everybody has an opinion.
Right.
You get to decide if it's relevant.
So true.
Okay?
So true.
All right. See you later.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Kara Lee, you're next. Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. What's up?
Well, our mutual friend, Miss Jen Saya, suggested that I do a cooking call with you.
All right.
I just found out about a week and a half ago that I have cancer.
Okay.
And I need to work my thoughts about it.
Okay. So cancer is your C line. Cancer diagnosis is your C line, right?
Yep.
What is the thought that's going through your head right now?
Sad.
No, that's a feeling.
Why
are you sad about your cancer diagnosis?
I'm sad because I got it and I'm a relatively healthy person and have always taken fairly good care of myself and don't know why I got it.
Okay. Is that why you're sad? You don't know why you got it?
I'm sad too, because the thought of possibly dying and not being able to have the rest of my life with my family and my husband.
Okay. I think that's the pain point. I might die. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And when you think that, is it sad or is it something else?
Angry.
Anything else?
Just angry.
Are you afraid?
Yeah, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Okay. And when you're angry and afraid because of this cancer diagnosis, what are you doing or not doing?
I've been trying to get a handle on, my thoughts.
Okay. That's another model.
Okay.
Okay. We'll get to that one. All right. I'm gonna write that down. Get a handle on my thoughts. But when you're angry, what are you doing?
Crying.
Okay. Right. This is the model I want you to stay in for now. All right. So you're crying. What else are you doing or not doing?
Not doing my PMP work.
Okay. What else?
Feeling sorry for myself.
What else?
Anything
you're doing or not doing?
Well, my life has completely changed, so I'm not doing my normal life, even though they said go about life normally.
Okay. So not going about life. Why aren't you going about life normally?
Well, doctor visits, testing. I got my port in yesterday. I have a small business that I basically have put on hold.
Oh, that's a good one. Put business on hold. Right? Mm-hmm. The result here is that you're putting life on hold.
Right.
Doctors even said, go about life normally.
Right.
We're going to wrap this stuff around you. We're going to give you some doctor visits. We're going to put your port in. We're going to set up a treatment plan. You just keep living life. But you've decided to put life on hold because right. of all these things that you are not, that you're not doing.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
You see that. All right.
Yep.
When you're, I want to offer in this action line, you're also not looking for solutions. You're showing right. up to the doctor's office, but you are in fear and anger and probably judgment of your body. I shouldn't have gotten this. I'm healthy. So you're not geared towards solutions.
Right. Okay?
And that's probably a super duper intentional, like out of reach model for you right now.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yep.
You're not like, all right, let's fix this, right? Because you're still mad about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm ready to fix it. I'm ready to go ahead with the chemo and we have a treatment plan in place, but I'm still angry.
What if I tell you it's okay to be mad about it? I want you to be mad about it. You know why?
Why?
Because if you don't allow yourself to be mad about it, you're going to fight against the anger. And you're not going to resolve it. Your brain and your body and your mind won't resolve the anger if you're fighting about it.
Okay.
Why not get good and mad about it?
Okay.
Let yourself be there.
Okay.
But while you're there, also allow yourself to do these things that you mentioned.
Okay.
Work on your thoughts. So you're going to notice them. You're not just going to work on them. You're going to notice your thoughts.
Okay.
All right, I'm angry right now, and I'm just going to be angry for a minute. Y'all leave me alone.
Okay.
Because I know in a few minutes I won't be angry anymore, and I'll be ready to roll, but y'all got to give me a minute.
Okay.
Right?
Yep. Yep, I'll be sitting there. All of a sudden, I'll be crying for no reason, and my husband says, what's wrong? And I'm like, just give me a minute.
I've got freaking cancer. That's what's wrong. Just give me a minute.
Right.
I mean, seriously. Okay. But you know what? The crying stops, right?
Yeah.
And yep. the anger dissipates and then you move to the next thing.
Right.
That's what I want you to do. I want you to honor the crying and honor the anger.
Okay.
Okay. So you're going to work on and notice thoughts. Oops. You're going to allow all emotions. Super duper important because if you fight them, you won't resolve them.
Okay. I've been trying to.
Yeah, you're trying to hold them back. Doesn't it feel good when I tell you, just get mad? It's okay.
Yeah, yeah it does. Right? It feels really, yep.
Yeah. You ask for help because you got coached. You talked yep. to Jen.
Yep.
So you're asking for help. You're seeking treatment. You have a treatment plan. So seeking treatment.
Yep.
You're basically open to all the things, right? Open.
Yes.
To all the things. That's the result you're creating when you're doing these things. Right? That's really important to see. You're
okay.
open to all the, you're open to the good and the bad and the journey and the I'm gonna get mad about it, but I'm gonna do it anyway. You know, I think Betsy's favorite thought is doubt it, but I do it. Well, yours can be I'm gonna get mad and I'm gonna do it anyway.
Okay.
Okay, so you're like basically that. Running two models at the same time. You're running this mad model. but you're also running this model that's got this action line in it.
Okay.
All right. So in order to do these things, to work on and notice your thoughts, to allow all the emotions, to ask for help, to seek treatment, to move forward with taking care of your health.
Right.
How do you have to feel? And I don't want empowered or determined or motivated. I want some really touchable feeling from you.
So how do I feel when I'm doing all those?
Yeah. What do you have to feel to do these things?
Well, I was going to say motivated, but.
Well, you can be motivated if you want. Prepared.
Prepared, yeah.
Ready.
Ready. Ready would be a good one.
Okay. Because part of you is, right? Part of you is ready to take this on and get it over with and get it done.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Right?
Yep.
So we have our diagnosis back up here. So when it's time to go get your report and go to the next doctor's appointment, what's your thought that creates ready?
One more step to the path of being healthy.
One more step, my next step, anything like that.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
This is one more step to healthy.
Yep.
You believe that?
95%.
Okay. So on the days you don't, you can tell yourself, instead of this is one more step to healthy, I want to believe this is my next step to healthy.
Okay.
That today might be a hard day, but it's still, I'm working on believing that it's one more step to healthy.
Okay. I like that.
Does that help?
That helps a lot. Yeah. Just talking about it helps a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want you to feel your anger and your fear and all those things. I want you to feel them. And I want you to feel them. It's just like I was talking to one of the other girls about urge. I want you to feel it in your body, because you have frozen on me, so I'm going to still talk. The beautiful thing is it comes on, a feeling like this, like any feeling, comes on and feels really strong, and then it eases off. Okay? It's just like crying. Okay. If you picture how, a really good hard cry starts and it gets good and hard, and there's sobbing and there's yelling and there's gnashing of teeth and all that, and then eventually it just starts to ease off. It's what a feeling does.
Yep.
It's what fear does. It's what anger does. It's what frustration does. It's also what ready does. Okay. Ready might not feel as intense, but it's going to come on and you're going to feel it, and then it's going to ease off, and then the anger might come back, or ready might come back, or something else might come in. Okay.
That helps a lot.
I'm glad. You take good care of yourself. I want to see you back in a few months and you tell me that this model worked, or one that you were able to derive from this model. Okay?
Okay.
This is fluid. If this one isn't the perfect one for you, it's okay to move it around and change it and replace some stuff. You just keep working on it. Because the more you manage your mind and allow yourself to feel, the easier this journey is going to be for you.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I'm hoping for that too.
Thank you, Kathy.
All right. Take good care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adrian? Hello.
There we go.
There you are.
Ah, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge all the women who have shared their vulnerability. It has really, really touched me.
It's been a good call tonight, for sure.
Yeah, and I feel like I have the dumbest, most superficial question in the world.
Oh, no.
Comparison.
No judgment, no comparison. You're on this, you came to office hours because you needed some help with something, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, thank you. So it's a bit of a sanity check for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When I work, I get really involved in my work and I love my work. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed, I'm a January baby, what I've noticed since starting PNP mm-hmm. is how much I've been overeating. Like mm-hmm. I have some huge awareness about that. And I've done
awesome
stuff before. And it's just like, oh, I'm an overeater. Okay. Let's be clear about that. So bringing consciousness to mm-hmm. the eating. Mm-hmm. So making the plan. And then what I'm noticing, especially over the last probably 2 weeks, maybe three, I don't get hungry for lunch until 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And I live alone, mm-hmm. so I don't have anyone I'm living with giving me shit about it or judging or whatever. And if I make social plans, I eat when I'm hungry and I don't eat if I'm not hungry. And mm-hmm. even if we're going out to dinner, mm-hmm. I'm just giving them a heads up, like, I might not eat.
Perfect.
So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So my question is this a phase or is this like my new normal or what's going on here?
It's hard to tell. It could be your normal because everybody's different, or it could be that your body is just self-regulating. But I love, are you losing weight?
Okay.
Are you losing weight?
I am. I'm down 12.8 pounds since February 4th.
Mm-hmm. So your body apparently likes how you're feeding it. You're not over hungry. You've realized that you're eating too much. You're self-regulating your hunger. So your body is also self-regulating. It's a beautiful thing. It's exactly what you should be doing.
Okay. Okay. So the part I've had up until now, the part I've had some issue with is trying to identify that hunger scale, because okay. I find that I would go from like maybe a -1 mm-hmm. to hangry, or like a -5. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like, that'd be the next time I'd be like, oh, I should probably eat. So here we were on this call, mm-hmm. hadn't eaten. And then it was like 5:30 and the stomach growl got really loud. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, let me drink some water, hang mm-hmm. out for a bit. Louder grumbling, emptiness mm-hmm. in the stomach. I'm like, okay, I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
So I'm just really trying to track.
You're not at minus. Yeah. You don't go from -1 to -5 in like a minute.
No, not a minute. Not a minute. It could, but the next time I notice I'm hungry, does that make sense? An hour could have passed.
Are you sure?
2 hours could have passed.
Are you sure it's really -5 though? Are you being dramatic?
Last night, uh-huh. I woke up with literally hunger pangs.
Oh, okay. How long had it been since you ate?
That's a good question. I don't have my planner in front of me. So it wasn't last night, it was the night before. I'm like losing it because I was up till 6:30 in the morning working. Mm-hmm. But so the other day, I had lunch around 3. 8:30, I was tired. So instead of eating, I went to bed. Okay. Like, I'm tired. Okay. I should go to bed. Went to bed. 11 o'clock at night, 11:30, I'm waking up in stomach pangs. I'm like, okay, just drink some water and some tea.
So where do you think you were on the hunger scale? Stomach pangs. I've got the
That really felt like a -5. That's the first time I've been that damn hungry.
Okay. So -5 is described as consistent growling. You're very focused on wanting to eat and a headache is possible.
Oh yeah. I have headaches all the time.
Yeah. But are they hunger headaches?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah. Here's what I would do. I would go to an OBS into, pretty sure it's phase 1.
I've re-listened to that section.
I would print out the chart.
Because I still don't get it.
Yeah, I would print out the chart and I would add my own notes to where we've gone ahead and put in what the physical sensations were. I'd add my own notes.
Okay.
And just try to, I mean, everybody's going to be a little bit different. I would just try and figure it out, but I would notate every time you're hungry and where you think you are on the scale, because eventually you're going to see trends and you're going to figure out, okay, so my -2 might be growls and it might not be. I usually don't growl. I'm at easy at a minus two right now. I had lunch at probably noon, so it's almost 7 hours since I ate, and I didn't eat very much. Well, I might be at minus three, but I'm not over dramatizing it and saying it's, you know, like the hunger pangs and the headache and the minus five. Mm-mm, I don't think I'm there. I don't think I would hit minus five unless I didn't eat at all until tomorrow.
Right.
And then right. My body overnight would probably self-regulate and probably take some off the hips, which might not be a bad idea. But my point is, I would go ahead and I'd print this out and I'd start notating where you are each mm-hmm. time, you know, what are my physical sensations and where do I think I am? And then do it each meal, each time you do. And I'd work on the hunger side first. And then right. once you feel like you know where that is, then I'd work on the plus side. And see where you go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I'm still also not getting the plus two. The good news is I think I'm eating till I'm at a zero, but it may actually be my plus two. I don't know. I just stop eating before I'm full, like way yeah. before I'm full.
Yeah. If you feel yeah. satisfied to plus two, zero.
No, neutral. I don't.
Think about neutral.
I don't.
You don't think you're satisfied?
No. No.
Or full. See, satisfied is not full. Satisfied no. means you've slowed down. I actually have a voice in my head. I know that probably sounds crazy, but I have.
So have her come visit almost, my head.
Yeah. It's like a thought that says, do you think you've had enough? Don't you think you've had enough? Mm. Do you think you're at plus two? And I'll think, well, that's it. Mm. I got to stop. And I usually am. I usually am at
yeah.
when that thought comes in. I think you're, and I see myself slowing down my eating. That's how I know.
Got it.
Yeah, it's like my body isn't as interested.
Yeah,
and that's how yeah. it shows up. But that's what right. I do. Seriously, I'd print out that hunger scale chart, and I'd start making my own notes in it, and just seeing what you be real curious about it, and be willing to make mistakes about it, because you gotta get. You know, hungrier than minus two to find minus two, and you got to blow past plus two to find it. And you got to miss it sometimes to nail it in.
Right. And I appreciate the advice of only working on one side of the scale at a time.
Yeah.
So that I've been trying to work on hunger and just being like, okay, when am I freaking hungry? Because if I've been overeating for this many years, I may not know what the dickens it feels like.
Right.
So I'm trying to be like, curious about it and be like, all right, well, let me have some more water and let me wait it out and then I'll figure it out. So, but this,
I love that. I love that you're curious about it.
Well, if I'm not, I'll just be annoyed. So I'd rather be curious.
So choose curious. Like, beautiful.
I've so many years being annoyed by my weight. I'd much rather be curious because this, I love the sustainability of this plan. Mm-hmm. And I have been preaching about it for like
good.
3 weeks now, just because it's like this shit's doable. Like, I yes. love that. I just love how approachable it is and practical.
It makes so much sense. It just makes sense.
And that works for my brain.
Right.
And I love, this whole call's been about the mental load. Let's be real about that. Mm-hmm. And I love your tender heart and how gentle you are and direct. So, and that's what's working for me is unburdening myself from the mental load as well. So,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you for talking to me tonight. I really appreciate
welcome. It. The mental load is why we eat.
I know.
Right? If we can figure that part out, guess what? We don't need food to hide from it anymore.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
All right. Get to work. Print out your chart. You got it.
All right. Thank you. Yeah.
Alrighty. Bye.
Bye.
Do one more. We'll squeeze one more person in. Danielle, you're next.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello. Let's get your video started. There
Is
you
that
are.
Working?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. What you got?
So my issue is yesterday I got an email from Sadie, marketing person at P&P, inviting me to share my story so Kareen could use it on some marketing stuff. Okay. I've lost 100 pounds.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And the first thought I had was, no way in hell.
Okay.
And it just brought up like all sorts of things in my head that, like I usually journal like 3 pages in the morning and I journaled 6 pages about, you know, it's like, oh, you know, and like every time in the past when I've lost weight and somebody wanted to feature me, it's like backfired and like, that's going to happen again. I'm going to jinx my weight loss. I haven't like lost all the weight that I intend to lose. So just like lots of thoughts about why this wouldn't be a good thing.
Okay.
And so it's made me feel really anxious, and I would like to do this, and I'm trying to figure out the model for making it inspiring.
All right. So when you feel anxious because somebody wants to, you know, talk about how proud they are of you, what do? You hide, right?
Yes.
Say no. Go away. Right?
Yes.
And you're basically jinxing yourself by hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're giving into all these self-judgment and it, you know, disbelief thoughts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because if you truly felt like you were an inspiration to other people, you'd be like, mm-hmm. absolutely use me. I am all in because I got it and I know I do.
Yeah.
You don't think that, do you?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. Because I guess I'm still not like believing it that I've done this and that it's going to work this time.
Okay. So what if I were to tell you that's normal? How much weight have you lost?
100 pounds.
Exactly 100.
105.
105 pounds.
Yeah.
How much time did it take?
About 9 months.
Okay. Did you do any crazy restrictive eating?
Nope.
Nothing crazy.
No.
Did you like give up sweets and drinks and all the things that, you know, you love and that, you know, you told yourself you can never have anymore?
Nope. I still have some ice cream almost every day.
Nothing restrictive. Oh, so you're like my friend Melanie who still eats chocolate cake every day.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Did you, like go to CrossFit and like work out 5 hours a day to make up for the ice cream or do anything crazy like that? No,
nope.
No CrossFit. So basically you lived life. You did the basics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing you did the basics.
Yeah, right? I did the basics.
What makes you think that you can't do that the rest of your life?
History.
Okay, so you're back with the first caller who looks at the past to decide how she's going to live the rest of her future rather than showing herself that the last 9 months
it's been a change.
You've not only managed your mind because you journal three pages every day, you've learned to manage your mind and you've learned to manage your eating.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So what about these things is not sustainable? What about these things are you not going to do the rest of your life?
I just feel like I'm just going to wake up one day and it's going to go poof. Mm-hmm.
So that's called, well, I don't know if it's called this, but what you're experiencing a little bit of, everybody does who loses weight, it's cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. It's like part of your brain still sees you 105 pounds ago.
Uh-huh.
When you look in the mirror, it's hard to see the person that you are now, the body shape that you have now, because you remember yourself with very strong memories, very probably unhappy memories, being 105 pounds heavier.
Right.
You're the ones that stay with you. Mm-hmm. So it takes a minute for your brain to catch up with the new 105-pound lighter you.
That makes sense.
You almost have to reprogram yourself to look at yourself more, to wear clothes. Oh my gosh, if Corinne hears this call, she'll be like, see? To wear clothes that fit, that show your new shape, rather than the big clothes that you're used to wearing. I don't know about you, but I still probably wear clothes that are too big. Well, Corinne would say I wear clothes that are too big. But that's all part of the cognitive dissonance I have about, you know, I weighed 230 pounds for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And now at my lighter weight, sometimes I forget that, oh, look, you know, I don't weigh that anymore.
Right.
I can wear something that fits. I can be a success story. I can teach other people. Oh, yeah. But I can teach other people because I lost this weight in this amount of time eating ice cream every day.
Uh-huh.
That's how you train your mind to accept where you are. You talk to it.
Okay.
Say, this is the person I am today. I've lost 105 pounds. It took me 9 months. I didn't do anything crazy. I ate ice cream every day. I didn't compensate with, you know, being super restrictive or, you know, working out all day long or
right.
I just allowed my body to self-regulate and I gave it what it needed. Mm-hmm. That in itself is super inspirational to people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, think about it in these terms. What if your story changes someone's life? If it actually says, well, gosh, if Danielle did that and she seems so real, maybe mm-hmm. I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to tell Sadie no, like uh-huh. your reasons.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I don't think you like your reasons.
Right.
You know, Sadie didn't have to ask you.
Right.
Right? Because when you clicked, you know, agree to whatever the terms and conditions were.
Uh-huh.
But she and Corinne have decided that to feature you guys on the outside, it's polite to ask you.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. So you decide, make the best decision for you, but mm-hmm. like your reason.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I would tell you. Some people are going to be like super private. Now, you know, it's just not for me. And I appreciate that you want to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But they don't do it from a place of shame or from a place of disbelief or something mm-hmm. like that. They do it from a place of, if my story helps one more person, then it's absolutely worth it.
Okay. That's good. That's good thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think your story would help someone?
I think so.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've probably inspired people on this call, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's a super inspiring to me to hear that you've had a little ice cream every day and lost 105 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that just indicates that what Corinne teaches is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
If I want to ask you, what do you think was the, if you had to make a list of all the things that worked for you,
uh-huh.
what would be the number one thing that you think was the most important thing you did or didn't do?
Not viewing food as good or bad. The only food that is evil, you know, devil food's cake and angel food cake maybe has an ethical value, but I mean, all food is equal, and not to be afraid of food. And so I have like worked really hard to be more comfortable around all kinds of food instead of just saying, oh, this is the diet food and this is the non-diet food, or that's bad. And I even try not to call food healthy or unhealthy.
Yeah. Don't you think that someone hearing you as a person mm-hmm. who's lost 105 pounds say that? Don't you think that would, you know, some that would reach somebody?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would.
Yeah.
I think it would.
Okay.
So think on it, journal about it.
Yep.
Okay. So that look, it reached Lauren. Right?
Yep.
So journal about it and make the best decision for you.
Okay. Thanks.
And I wish you could meet Sadie. Corinne calls her Sprout. She's about 5 feet tall and just a little teeny tiny thing. And she loves the tribe. Uh-huh. Loves the tribe. She thinks it's the best thing that she's ever come across. And the work that she does really, really shows it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
See ya. All right, everybody. I'm running late. Let's see if there's anything in this Q&A that needs handling. Rather than find a way to recharge other than food, what are some thoughts I can use to be alone with myself other than use food? Janine? I would ask myself why you need food in the moment. What is it you're really looking for? And answer that question. Okay? And then fulfill that need. You know, if you're not hungry, you don't need food. So what emotion are you trying to fulfill, and how can you fulfill it? Lisa wants a quick run through of filling out the successful urge worksheet. Lisa, I would actually take that to the Facebook group and see if someone can share with you how they filled it out and what they looked at it, where they looked at it from. I think that would be a really great, great thing to share in the group. And the reason I say that is because I think we forget. I think sometimes we forget that there's a successful urge worksheet there, and it's used when it's in No BS. And it's used when you are able to feel an urge to eat and not eat, knowing that it's not a hunger urge. It's more of a, I really want something to eat right now, and I know I'm not hungry kind of urge. So I would ask that question in the Facebook group for sure. Okay, you guys, I hope you have a great night. What's coming up? Let's see what's coming up real quick. Don't forget 31 days of planning. If you haven't started, it's okay. It's only day 4. We don't expect perfection. In fact, we would love for you to be imperfect and still show up. That would be amazing. So get on the 31 days of planning. We have relationships weekend this weekend. So Corinne and I will be at the hotel. Coach Betsy will be doing office hours on Sunday the 8th. So if you didn't get to get coached tonight, show up Sunday at Sunday the 8th, March 8th at noon. And then there'll be office hours again next week, same time on Wednesday. Okay, you guys, have a great evening, and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.